Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Ed Moya, Senior Market Analyst over at Oanda. Now, Ed, we'll talk about a wide range of markets, but we're going to start with one that we haven't talked about, I think, ever. It deals more with, I guess, currencies, global currencies, and the emerging markets, but let's talk about what happened in Turkey. Over the weekend, the Turkish lira is really in free fall right now after it bounced because of last week, the central bank raising rates much more than what was expected. But over the weekend, we had the president fire the central bank governor. This is what's causing all this volatility. This is what's pulling down the Turkish lira. Ed, what's your assessment of this issue that has just come out of Turkey over the weekend?
I think the sacking over the weekend, it happened on Saturday here in the U.S. And I immediately messaged one of my hedge fund friends. And I'm like, uh-oh, Erdogan's at it again. And I think, you know, if for those that don't follow Turkey, you know, there's not a lot of stability when it comes to who runs the central bank. This is going to be their fourth central bank chief in 3 years. I think what really surprised markets was that Nasi Agbal, who was the central bank governor that got canned, he was really positively viewed on Wall Street. He kind of restored confidence in Turkey, in the lira. You know, his actions were, he delivered 875 basis points in rate increases since November. And I think what we saw was that, you know, investors started to really fall in love with Turkish assets. They thought, okay, we're going to have a tremendous interest rate differential. We have, you know, as the global economy recovers, you're probably going to see all of EM, you know, benefits in Turkey with that you know, amazing 19% interest rate differential was going to be very attractive. And when you take a look at positioning, looking at some of the options markets, you know, I think heading into the weekend, there was something close to 90% of call options on the lira yen. I mean, everyone was just kind of, you know, looking to take advantage of a much stronger lira. And this move surprised, I think, most people. I think that there was this belief that Erdogan was tolerant of this tightening that we've seen because the economy was, you know, battling inflation. But I think, you know, we have to remember Erdogan does not think like your traditional economist. He actually has an opposing view. He believes that high interest rates cause inflation. So that's really kind of the concern. And I think, you know, most economists will argue that, you know, you raise rates to dampen down the economy and that's going to help you with inflation. But this is something that really, I think, is taking markets by surprise. And we saw, you know, before the currency markets fully opened, you know, the lira was down like around 17%. And I think that is really going to, you know, kind of, you know, exemplify, you know, Turkey is in a currency crisis right now, and I think you're going to see that there's a big fear that, you know, well, you know, is this going to be a moment that is going to kind of have an effect across all of EM? But right now, it looks like the Turkey fallout is contained. You can take a look at some of the moves in the bond market, and it looks like for the most part, whether you're looking at Latin America or most of Asia or Africa, it doesn't seem that is really impacting those markets. So I think right now you're probably going to have investors, and this is the wild thing about FX. So, you know, we saw the lira just completely go in free fall, but, you know, as that happened, there kind of was that kind of you know, pairing of that move. And I think, you know, we breached over 8.854, and you know, we're below 8, but I think that there is this strong belief that, okay, and while the new governor kind of tried to voice some calm for the markets, I think there's no doubt that the new chief, who's Sehab Cavusoglu, will cut rates in the next meeting, which is in just a few weeks. So I think there's this consensus view that's building that you're going to have a much weaker lira. So right now, I think a lot of people are watching and, okay, well, it's, you know, it's recovered maybe a third of its losses. But I think still the view is that you're going to have a much weaker lira going forward. And Turkey, they're going to, you know, go try to, you know, have capital controls in place to prevent further deterioration with that currency. But this looks like this is going to be a mess. And so you're going to see interventions in place. And so this is a very difficult trade to navigate, because at any moment you can see a strong action by the central bank. And I think right now, though, you're probably going to have many people that are going to anticipate a much weaker lira. I think you're probably going to have, I think, the consensus trade be, you know, looking for it to fall all the way to 9 against the dollar. And I think that's going to make this a very, very closely watched trade. And I think until we get, you know, past, you know, that first action by the new central bank chief, you're going to see exactly, okay, well, how much are we going to see the interest rate go down? And I think eventually, you know, it depends on the economic outlook right now. I think Turkey is struggling with, like, most of EM. And I think depending on that outlook will really determine, I think, the action for the government and for the central bank.
So, Ed, let's talk about the emerging markets broadly, because there is a large contingent that is saying that emerging markets have a lot of catch up to play, that they have started doing quite well. And quite frankly, there are some bullish narratives around that EM space. Does any of the news out of Turkey upset that emerging market trade at all?
Not yet. And I'm a little optimistic that it won't. You never know. We've had other currency crises that kind of started in a small region and eventually it you know, brought down the whole sector. But I think you're probably going to see that. I think EM is going to primarily focus on how quickly can the economy reopen. And a lot of that will be dependent on how each country is doing with their fight against COVID. And I think what's been very positive has been the tremendous amount of breakthroughs we've seen on the vaccine front. It looks like you know, we're getting more vaccines that are available. The AstraZeneca one today, just getting the U.S. nod of approval here. And I think EM needs vaccines that are easily stored, refrigerated, nothing special required, just like you see with Pfizer or Moderna. And I think the J&J, the AstraZeneca vaccine is very positive news. And I think the belief is that AstraZeneca is really going to ramp up production where that will alleviate a lot of concern, I think, across EM. So I think there's a lot of upside belief that these emerging markets are going to finally start to see their fair share of vaccines, and that's just positive for their economic recovery. So I think there's still a lot of optimism with that. And for currency traders, I think you're seeing that there's this belief that you're going to have their respective central banks react a lot quicker to inflation. You know, we saw Turkey hike by 200 basis points. I think Brazil kind of kicked things off when they raised rates. Russia signaled that the next meeting they're going to be raising. I think there's this belief that, you know, the interest rate differential is going to become attractive for emerging markets. And I think that depending on what happens with the dollar, and, you know, right now it seems like the dollar is just, you know, completely trading off of the bond market. And that should provide, I think, a steady rise in treasury yields is still healthy for EM. But if we see treasury yields skyrocket, then eventually that will drag EM down, because it'll really deliver a much stronger US dollar, which is bad for emerging markets.
Okay. Quick comment on yields then. Yields are down today. The 10-year is back below 1.7%. Ed, what is going to be crucial for the bond market here as we move through this week, even into the next few weeks, trying to see if yields will continue to rise or if they have finally hit some sort of a peak during this pretty impressive, about pretty much 1 year run?
Yeah, and I think right now what we're going to see is, you know, the market is really, you know, kind of fixated on Treasury yields. I think, you know, if yields slide, you're going to see the NASDAQ, you know, bounce back stronger than most. And you're probably going to see that right now, no one is doubting the Fed. The Fed, you know, this week we're going to have a ton of Fed speak, Powell three times. We're going to hear from, it seems like, every other member this week. And I think what you're going to have the markets kind of be fixated on is, okay, well, how much demand are we going to have for treasuries? And when we take a look at the, you know, the past few auctions, you know, for the most part, at least in March, demand has been strong. So there really hasn't been that fear that, okay, you know, that there's a weakening demand here. And if we have weaker demand, then, you know, you're going to see treasury yields kind of go through the roof. And I think what a lot of traders have, you know, circled on their calendar is the 7-year treasuries auction, which happens on Thursday at 1 p.m. New York time. And I think a lot of focus is happening because in late February, there was a very disappointing auction, and it was that 7-year, and that's what kind of provided that initial move above 160 on the 10-year treasury yield. So I think people are curious, you know, is this the beginning of a trend? Was that poor auction because of some Japanese investors repatriating their money, or is this the beginning of something that's going to concern bond traders? So I think, the path for treasury yields is going to be much higher. I think that's kind of mostly agreed upon. I think the Fed has signaled they're going to allow the curve to steepen, depending on the trajectory is what they're concerned about. And if we see a steady rise, I think that's still, you know, positive for growth. If we have disappointing demand, you know, watch out. I think, you know, we could easily be talking about the 10-year at 2% before you know it. I think the Fed, I think markets are kind of anticipating that the Fed would be tolerant if over the next, you know, few months, we had a steady rise to possibly up to 2.25%. But I think anything that suggests that we can blow past that number will warrant Fed action. And so that's kind of where markets are in wait and see mode right now. And right now, I think you're probably going to see a lot of investors, they, you know, I think the belief is still that, you know, the NASDAQ is you know, tech focused. And I think you still need to believe in tech despite, you know, some of these frothy valuation. So I think you're starting to see some investors kind of scale back into that trade because it has come down quite a bit from those highs.
Yeah, well, tech's bouncing back today, but to your comment about markets being in wait-and-see mode, I think also the Fed, Jerome Powell, is in wait-and-see mode to see just how high these yields can run without really having an impact on these markets. Ed, one other quick comment. You do write about gold every day. I have to ask you, because last week we seemed to start to see a bit of a divergence from that whole inverse correlation between yields and the precious metals, where yields were moving higher, precious metals were moving lower. Today, we're seeing actually both move lower. Silver selling off a lot more, but gold is also down. Do you think that inverse correlation is, at least for the short term, coming to an end?
I think it's possible, and I think you know, gold's had a nice couple 2 weeks. it seems like for quite some time we were just seeing gold in the house of pain here, but I think what you're starting to see is that there are new risks emerging. I think you're starting to get more some safe haven demand, but more importantly for gold, that central bank demand is growing. I think, you know, the events in Turkey, that is triggering a lot more, interest in gold. I think you're also going to see that short-term risks to the outlook. Europe, you know, we've covered in detail, I think, over these last few weeks. But also, too, we're starting to see some concerns in the U.S., too. We've had New Jersey kind of halt their reopening process. Michigan cases have tripled. Virus variants. It's all short-term. It's all short-term risks. But I think that is providing some interest into gold as well. I think, you know, the vaccination, you know, herd immunity is, you know, summer bound for the U.S. And but right now, I think you're having the markets are anticipating that, okay, we are starting to see more risks emerge. I think, you know, the quiet one right now seems to be, you know, U.S. and China, or really the U.S. and Europe and Canada against China. I think you're going to see that there is going to be some tense times. I think geopolitics will provide some uncertainty. It won't be like what we saw during the Trump administration, but I think that there will be, a reason why you're going to have investors be a little bit more cautious regarding, you know, I think this, it seems like relentless, you know, buying of equities because of just the reopening trade. So I think there are a lot of risks that still remain out there. And for the most part, gold is, eventually going to kind of benefit from inflation concerns. And I think that you're probably going to see that, you know, treasury yields rising will, you know, also, you know, happen during times when gold is strengthening too. So I think it should be a correlation that kind of holds up, I think, once we get deeper into the summer.
All right, Ed, great chatting with you as always. Thank you for kind of summarizing what you're looking forward to this week and also that big news out of Turkey. We'll see how that all plays out and we'll see if it actually impacts that emerging market trade. But overall, it seems like there are no central banks that want to be getting tighter. And well, Turkey, yeah, just fired their head of their central bank. Hey, Ed, great chatting with you. I will post a link to the OANDA website below this interview so everyone can read over your daily note. Thanks for your time today, Ed. We'll chat with you next week.
Thanks, Corey. Have a good one.